Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all right.
This radio guy can't even find the thing.
Oh, it's
praise the Lord, let that be our heart's desire today, to be available to God. Our storage being empty, being crucified with Christ, no longer I that live with him, and through his faith are we made whole, and we help to bring wholeness to those around us through living the crucified life. And so as our lesson will take us today in our fellowship of learners into a place of a crucified life, being available to God, being available to the heart of God, we're going through Matthew, going through the crucified, I'm sorry, the supernatural transformation of the heart. And I see that we have someone trying to reach me. So we pray that we're distracted looking that all of our studying has brought us to a new place, a new understanding of that in which our heart should hold. And so, let's continue to listen to this song, listen to the words of this song. Praise the Lord. Okay, 773. 855-8365 or 630-464. All right. Prayerfully, we've gotten that straightened out. We get our evangelist on the line as well. And so, one moment, please. Okay, so we're starting this morning. A little bumpy, but we are starting. Being available to God, our storage being empty, and emptying out of our flesh and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us with the power to walk according to the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us at our Friday Fellowship of Learning. We want to start our day with our scriptures and our promise that we're depending on to prepare the soul of our hearts so that we might be transformed and our hearts may be surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. So, do you have your scriptures this morning? And your promise. Let me start with my...
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, well, you know your fellowship of learners love you, and, you know, we're sending strength to you and the joy of the Lord during this challenging time. Anything we can do, you let us know. We are there for you. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, all right.
My scripture today is, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that particular chapter from verse 28 through 39 gives us assurance. The first one is God works things out for those who love him, verse 28. God has determined to fulfill his purpose for the believer, verse 29. God has set the glorification of the believer once for all, verse 30. God has acted for the believer, not against him, verse 31 through 33. Christ does not condemn the believer, verse 34. And Christ delivers the believer through the severest circumstances, verse 35 through 37. And Christ delivers the believer through the most extreme experiences and forces, verse 38 and 39.
Amen.
So, that's my promise.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Very powerful process that we can stand on for the promises of the seasons that are very challenging. Amen. Anybody else with your scripture? to stand on and your promise to walk in. Probably mine is Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Just a reminder constantly of how deceitful sin is, not the big things, but it's the little things that creep into our spirit that we have to guard against. We have to monitor. And one of the ways of doing it is exhorting one another daily, not waiting, but while it is called today, the right now presence of the Lord in this season of the Lord, so that we are continually in motion in growing and going into maturity. And then Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So the process and the commitment to the process is that of God, and he will not fail. He will do what he has promised to do, and in doing so, he will cause me to walk in holy wholeness, not corrupted by the old nature, but rather giving full influence in my heart to the new nature, the new creature that we are in Christ. No longer the old Adam, but the new. Any more scriptures out there to be shared? Okay. All right, well, we're looking at our function of the heart and what happens when we have a heart condition. But the function of the heart, we want to always keep the functions in mind so that we can properly monitor our heart, guard our heart, watch over our heart, evaluate, monitor, surrender, and commit, and to keep our heart by hiding his word in our heart. So I pray that it is a clear connection. If not, please let me know, text me, so we can see if there need to be any adjustments that we can do on this end. Remember, we are reminded that the function of the heart is to regulate the flow of life. The heart is the gatekeeper to our lives. The heart facilitates the intimate relationship that we desire with God and with one another. It generates our belief and what we truly trust in. And from our heart, we are able to commit to God and to God's people. And so we were looking at some of the conditions that impede this process. And the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the heart of stone, a hard heart. And so we went through those things that are conditions of this hard heart, and we want to keep in mind what they are so that we look out for. We can recognize them when Holy Spirit brings them to our remembrance. But it's repeatedly committing a sin, holding on to offense, which we'll talk about this week, harboring emotional wounds, disobeying the voice of God, unbelief, lawlessness is a sign, and a cause of a hard heart. Signs you don't feel God's presence, allowing the flow of the Spirit, allowing your faith to flow, your faith to grow and to become strong. Moving from, we move from commitment and our love waxed cold. We are looking at a rebelling against God and the things of God. When these things start to rise in our spirit, in our life, in our thinking, these are warning signs. These are signs to, you know, as they say, put on brake, error, stop, okay. And then let's evaluate, let's monitor, and let's give place to Holy Spirit, because he is trying to bring us into a better place, because there is a transmittal from our heart through what we say and what we do that's indicating our hearts are not with our whole heart, we are not serving God. That there is something impeding the flow of life. Life from the life of Christ to our emotions, our thinking, and our will. And it is affecting what people see and what we do and what we say and how we feel. And so we want to be mindful of some of these warnings, some of these indications that there is something that is not in harmony. Some as a hardened heart, it is something that's like a with your arteries getting clogged, something clogging that flow from your spirit, from the spirit of the living God who lives in you, to your emotions and your thinking. And so as a result, we have a diagram that we want to keep in mind what this looks like every time we are challenged, every time we are confronted with anything in a situation, and that is that we have to understand that there are some things that we should use that God has given us in order to monitor this. One thing is truth and honesty in the inward part. That's examining ourselves, truly examining what we're doing as opposed to what we're saying we believe. And if it's lining up, in trusting the Holy Spirit to bring us into alignment with the Word of God and through affirming relationships and through time. And so as situations travel through our belief system, they either travel through God's truth or they travel through the lies of Satan. God's truth is the new man that's in our spirit, and the lies of Satan is the influence that's remaining from our walk before Christ. What we believe will trigger our thoughts. Our thoughts will dictate our emotions, and our emotions will drive our actions. Our actions change when our belief system changes. That's why we're getting the Word of God. That's why we're getting the promises of God. That's why we are studying the process of God as he journeys us from immaturity to maturity, from carnal to spiritual. And so we have to establish a base. The Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance those things that were said. So you have to first have it in your memory. You have to expose yourself to it. You have to seek out those words from the Word of God that will bring truth and honesty as it relates to walking in harmony with God. We can have truth in what we think or honesty in what we think, as we compare and walk based on what people are doing. But we want to understand that that is not the standard of those that have been born again. And so the healing for these conditions are brought forth, and they're very simple. God is a merciful God, and he keeps it. He said we have to be like children. And so he has a very simple solution for whatever it is. And one of the things that we want to always remember is, no matter where we find ourselves in error with God, God has already created a path back to himself for us. And we have to just confess. And the scripture tells us, confess your faults one to another. So not just to God, but to one another. That's how we hold each other accountable. That's part of the ministry of one another. That's part of the exhort one another while it is today. That's what that's part of, confessing, not pretending that we have perfected a thing, but acknowledging that we've fallen short. And in that confession, we have to repent. We have to understand that is just not what my heart desires. The heart of Christ does not desire for me to remain in error. And his desire is manifested in me through the power that he has granted me, and that's that grip of grace. That's the grace that he grants unto us so that we can then give him glory. And in order to do that, we have to forgive. We have to ask for forgiveness, and we have to forgive those who have trespassed us. And then we have to die to self, die to the attitude of being self-absorbed, just so self-consumed. We have to commit to moving forward. We have to make the choice for momentum, because in choosing momentum, it will lead us into maturity. And as we go forth in that momentum, we have to receive what Christ has given us. He has given us the power of heaven to do that which will be the will of the Father. And we must commit and we must receive it as coming for him, not as being established on our own. And then after receiving it, we need to act upon it. And in that action, we will find ourselves reaching out for reconciliation to others, because we cannot love God and not love God's people, or even be offended by them, because we realize that offense, as he starts in this particular chapter, is that offense is a negative attitude a person adopts after being affronted by someone or something, so that he sins in attitude, word, or deed, and usually keeps on sinning as he develops bitterness and resentment towards the offending situation or individual. It goes beyond the momentary exception of being offended, just casually offended. Oh, wow, they said that hurt my feelings. But it goes beyond that. It's when it is continued to fester. Well, how dare they? And one of the things I realized as I was reading this is that offense is the stumbling block. It is not the sin, but it is the offense that will then cause us to sin. So this is giving up the right for the wrong, because you may have a right to be wounded. You may have a right to be put off by something that someone does because it's an offense to God. But it's how we respond to that person. Do we then, and the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies, to the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. So how are we responding to this offense of this person. This offense, the book shares, is like a, it's a stomach. It's a trap. It's a trap. It is what Satan has used from eons in the beginning. It is a way of causing not us to sin, but causing others to sin. And so an offense, we need to realize, is a direct attack of Satan. And it may be done unconsciously by someone or purposely by someone. But in either situation, it is intended to make us sin. And so that's why it is brought to us. It also can be used to measure the content of our heart, to measure what's really in my heart. I may think more highly of myself than I ought, because what festers underneath there is a resentment or a bitterness towards a action or situation that has come my way. And so we don't want to have lingering negative feelings about anything, any place, and anyone. Lingering negative feelings, just kind of just getting under your skin. And that's that fester. That's what happens when, you know, that pimple comes. First it turns red, then it itches, and then it, you know, festers, and then it just, you know, explodes. And so we don't want that festering, but look at the symptoms of the festering. Gives us indication you can act now to prevent further exposure to that negative feeling. And so we have to, again, make a conscious choice to not do that. We have to choose. It says when we don't, then there becomes all these schisms, and there becomes all of these attitudes that separate us. And that's exactly the strategy of the enemy, to separate us. It causes us to be removed from the presence of God, forfeiting his anointment and kingship, and even losing our life. And so we don't want to allow a negative feeling towards a person, a place, or thing to cause us to then sin and remove us from the place and presence of God. The offense is the characteristic of an offended heart. It's the root of offense, and how to deal with offenses effectively, we're going to find out in this chapter. So the stumbling block or thing that offends, that is what we're looking at. It is a trap, and it is can be by accident, or it can be intended. One of the things the author uses is the fact that we can often be offended when we are serving the Lord, we're giving our life for the Lord, we're walking according to the way and the word of the Lord, and we are suffering. I was so powerful an example of John the Baptist, and I never thought of it in that way, but how someone can be so close to the Lord, so sure of the anointing of the Lord and their destiny, and through the action of someone, and that was him being thrown in prison after, you know, eating bugs and living in the desert in the heat and, you know, having, you know, no good set of clothes, and making this huge human sacrifice for the Lord and for his destiny, that he then became offended with God because of where he saw himself ending up. It wasn't what his expectations were. And he felt an offense in those expectations because he then questioned, well, maybe he really isn't Jesus. And so he was offended by the situation he found himself in. But the thing was, finding himself in that situation, he had negative feelings, I'll put it that way. I don't think he became bitter and resentful, because his negative feelings caused him to tell his disciples, go and see and ask him, is he really the one? Well, that's really a very negative, sarcastic, rude thing, really, to say to a leader just because you don't like the result of the ministry that God has given you. Because Christ didn't give him that ministry. That was given to him by God. God told his parents, and they received it, and that was the result of it. And so we need to always remember that it is so easily we are so close at all times to the ability to fall, no matter how close we are to God. Then we'll talk about come on now, Moses. These are all not, weak men, but strong, powerful leaders. And yet, getting to a place where they found themselves, it started to fester into negative feelings, negative attitudes, negative emotions towards God. And this is one of the things that we need to see as a sign of the end time, because this is when the love for many will wax cold, because they will become disheartened with the way they think things are turning out. God gives us a word, and we interpret it, and we interpret that ministry based on our own knowledge. And when it doesn't look like we think it should, or progress to the place we think it should, then we become really offended. We become disillusioned, and that brings forth, and there's nothing wrong with being disillusioned. But the thing is, when we are, we have to step back, examine. This has the potential to put me into an offended heart, and then to confess, to repent, to die to self, because that's what it is. It's not like I think that it should be. And so the I starts to become the ruler and the one that is on the heart, sitting on the throne of the heart, and not Christ himself. It says we have to come to view God. They came to view God as an obstacle rather than the ultimate source of life and power in the midst of the situation. If Jesus did not avoid offending various people among whom he lived and ministered with, no one else on earth will be able to avoid it either. So offense will happen. You are coming into a place where, and Scripture tells us, offense will happen. But know that it is a trap, and it is meant to separate us from one another. And the minute we are separated from one another, we immediately start to lose our power and the presence of God in our life. And it's just like an artery being clogged. So he goes on to say there are those who become offended because they think they're being overlooked, or they were being ignored, or they were not being acknowledged. And so we have to think how this is something that comes as a result of really flesh wanting to be stroked. That's as simple as it can be. And then not just stroked, but stroked by certain people. So there are so many. The author uses the example of the fact that he and his wife may not have gone and to the hospital when someone was sick, but yet they sent representatives from the church, because that was part of the church structure. How many people become offended by that and feel like, you know, judge the leadership because it doesn't meet their expectations, and they want to be acknowledged or to be held in a higher place than God wants them to be. And so God is desiring that we all be ministered to, but not necessarily by the people we think ought to minister to us. And even in the Bible with the roles of the deacon, there were certain things that the leadership did, and it became apparent that that needed to be delegated, if you will, into the area of ministry of those anointed in that to be the deacons, and those that visit the sick, and those that take care of the poor, and those that visit those in prison and in need, those in need. And so it is a part of the structure. So when we are not pleased with the way the church flows, and it's flowing according to Scripture, then we are being offended by God, because we feel he should take more attention to us than he is. And it is not about us, but rather about him and bringing him glory. And this is why there's going to be a great falling away. How many people have left the church because of an offense, falling away from the love of God because they didn't feel that God loved them the way that they should be loved, or they wanted to be loved. And he didn't do it their way through his people. And so as a result, they divorced themselves from God and from the people of God. And that's just a trap of the enemy to separate us, because it says, you know, divide, you conquer. When someone is out there alone with no one fighting with them, they're an easy target, and they're easy to be overcome and to be consumed. Offenses are inevitable because this is a fallen world. We have to understand that we have to take away our guilt, know that we are not condemned, but rather we are, by the Holy Spirit, we are reminded of that which is wrong and given the direction that we should take. So it is inevitable. It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. So in other words, he's saying, God is saying, you know, it's going to come, but just know that whoever brings it, they're not going to be in a good place, because God is not going to be pleased. He says, woe unto them. So that's another promise that we know. I don't have to get revenge. I do not have to remain wounded. I can forgive and go forward, because God is going to fight my battles. God is going to right a wrong. And when this happens, we often have a heart that you really want to see someone get it, if you will. You want to see them suffer. And then that means we've fallen into the trap. And now we have sinned, because it should always be in our heart that man be forgiven, because we always will need and seek that same forgiveness. So expect that it will come, because sin is in the world.
Remember.
And so as
To remember, who am I?
Yes.
Who am I? Where did I come from?
Amen. We have to remember, who are we? How many times have we offended? And if not one another, which we have, we've offended God. We offended God when we were in our sins, when we chose sin over
and
him. That wasn't
and
sin.
And still is in our sin. And we're still in our sin.
Amen. Amen. And yet, and we need that forgiveness. We need him to, and Christ to pray for us as he intercedes for us. And so we have to, he says that what you give, you get. So as you're giving this compassion to one another, you're also receiving it from God. And this is how our offenses will help instruct us. They're instructive because they point us into the direction that we should be going by showing us the direction that is really sitting in our heart, a place of error and a place of sin. And it is transmitted to our consciousness through our actions, through the response of our heart when someone offends us. It was interesting that it also talked about this offense is also, I want to say, a contagious, because we continue to not just throw a temper tantrum, but we share it with other people through gossip and through just maliciously sharing even details of what may have really been an offense. So rather than forgive our enemy, we actually, what do you want to call it? We parade their error. Yes.
Need to thank them.
Yes.
Bringing that to your attention.
Yeah, bringing it to everybody's attention and wanting them to feel the way you feel. And that is not the way God would have us to go forth. So we have to realize that the offense is instructive. Use it as that. He said he'll make all things work to the good. And when we find out and it breaks our heart and we repent, we confess and we repent, then it brings us closer to him. We have to follow the biblical pattern. Yes. We must follow the biblical pattern of talking with the person privately, seeking reconciliation, and forgiving him, especially if the offense was intentional. And if it was unintentional, then it is up to us to let go. I love that song, Let It Go, Let It Go. Because you should be crucified in Christ and the dead doesn't feel it, so the offense shouldn't bother you anyway. Because
and
you're
know
not
it wasn't intentionally. And you know it wasn't intentionally.
Amen. Amen. He didn't speak to me. How many times have we allowed the enemy to use that excuse to be negative about our attitude towards an individual? They didn't speak to me. And that's such an easy thing to happen, not because intentional, but just somebody's mind just isn't there. And maybe they are consumed in other things. And then maybe they didn't speak to you and they were wrong. But then
you don't
turn out and sin against them by saying, well, they didn't speak to me, so I'm not going to speak to them. Well, wow. And yet that can be our response. And has been our response. And so we have to repent of that. We have to repent of that, and we have to recognize it for what it is. Then it can be justified. We can justify or unjustify in feeling offended. So there are times when it is you have a right to be offended, but you also have a power to not allow that right to rule you into a place of sin. And so that's giving up the right for the wrong. I'm able to, but I choose not to, because the end of that path is destruction for me. So I'm not going to go there. And so those sometimes are the things we surrender our right to offense in order to attain a higher purpose of saving human beings from their sin, including those who treated him unjustly. That's what Christ did, and that is the example that we are to incorporate in our lives. Offenses are a sign of the end time. For the scripture, we saw it before in other places, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And that's what comes after the offense. You know, you betray the love that we should have for one another. It's betrayed when we are offended because we hold on to something negative. And love is to cover a multitude of sin. So if we're not covering the sin and your offense, but rather we're uncovering it, then we're betraying you, betraying the place that you're in and that God is bringing you through and wanting you to get stuck there and not go forward, as opposed to allowing one another to error to holiness, not keeping them in the error, but help covering them and exhorting them so that they can move from that area, momentum, and get to the place of maturity. The worst part is that many people seem indifferent to the reality of their heart and that it is growing increasingly cold and hard. They're being deceived by sin. That's why if we exhort one another daily, lest we be deceived by sin. You thinking it's them when it is actually creeping into you because of your attitude and your response to it. The major reason hearts are going cold is that offenses are multiplied as weakness and wickedness accelerate. And so it's going to, this is what is going to happen and be the signs of the end time because of lawlessness. Because we want it our way and not God's way. We've taken God's way to a certain level and to a certain place, and now we no longer want it his way. We want it our way. So now we don't want to follow the law, if you will, but and not just the law of the Old Testament, but the law of the precepts of the kingdom of God. We want our own kingdom. You know, I just say that we should be separated and come up with our own state. We just want to make our own place and be our own king. The love of many will grow cold. And you know why it grows cold? Because we grow increasingly away from one another. You know, absence does not make the heart grow fonder. The more we separate ourselves and distance ourselves from one another, the less and less we are emotionally involved with them. And so as a result, there's a callousness that starts. You know, the further away from your source of life you become, the weaker and weaker and weaker you become. And this is what is happening. And this is the strategy of how to make that happen. So if we choose to remain permanently offended, we will promote treacherous patterns of growing lawless, betraying one another, hating one another, and will hate one another. You know, sometimes, and we'll even say, well, I hate it when they do that. We have to watch that. We are harboring an emotion that is a very dangerous one. And we don't want to do that, and we don't want to speak it. Because what that does is it gives the enemy another root into our heart. You know, a plant grows stronger and stronger because the roots are going deeper and deeper. Well, when we start hating things, I hate them, and I hate them when they do that. We may not necessarily, you know, say, we say, well, I don't really hate them, I just hate what they do. Okay, that's a very dangerous place because we have a hard time separating what people do from who people are, because this is what society has taught us or trained us or try to brainwash us into feeling and thinking you are what you do. We become then offended because we become self-centered. And then offense will block the voice of God with the cry of the flesh. So as we should be letting go, we don't, because the cry of our flesh, oh, me, I'm hurt. Oh, woe is me, why is this happening? Oh, woe is me, that's the cry of the flesh. And so when that cry of the flesh becomes so that we don't hear the voice
of God. I believe that's part of what happened to Moses, the cry of his flesh. He was just weary with the people and their complaining and their disobedience and their lack of faith, their unbelief, and he was just so sick of it that he allowed their error to be his stumbling block. Jesus, he was offended, and he should have had a right to be offended because they were not honoring God, and he knew the God of glory. However, in having that offense and allowing it, that negative attitude to remain, then he then ended up falling into sin himself and not hearing the voice of God for the present situation he was in. Now, God had told him in times past that he could hit something, but that wasn't the instructions God was giving him at this point. But that's like God, to be God and to test us by not allowing us to feel, you know, I got this. There's a pattern. As long as I do this, you know, I did this before. This is what I'll do now. And God is saying, no, you need to walk daily, moment by moment with me, always, always involved in listening to my voice, because this is a place we've never been before, and we have to listen to him in order to navigate through it, because only he knows the way. And yet so often we feel, oh, we got this. You know, he had been dealing with the children of Israel for quite a while, and he knew their pattern, and he knew, you know, the different things that the different errors that they were making, and he allowed that to make him sin by not, his flesh was crying out louder and crying so loud that he didn't hear the voice of God, and he hit. And not only did he hit it, by this time, because he had made such a sacrifice in his life and in his dedication to God, that he felt, he forgot, this really is not you doing this. This is really the Lord. And sometimes that happens in ministry. We've been in ministry so long, we think we're doing it, and why don't people this and that? They're his people. He knows them. What they're doing is not new to him. But what's important is new to us is what he wants us to do at this moment, at this time, in this season for this people. And so that's because we have to establish, and remember that the job of the heart, one of the functions of the heart is to establish this intimacy with God, this closeness to him. Because you think of the heart, remember, it is the spirit in which dwells the Holy Spirit, which is the person, the third person of the Godhead. And so because we want him and his influence to be that which transforms our emotions, our thinking, and our will, we want his influence to start flowing through those areas so that it will transform our body. And so into what we think and what we actually do physically and what people see us doing physically. And so we want to make sure that as we get close to the closer and closer we get in the more and more of our heart that Holy Spirit takes over, then the more and more influence he's going to have on us. Any comments, questions, insights you received from this chapter? I want to give you opportunity to share as well.
Good morning, over here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
No, go ahead. Somebody was speaking. I'm sorry.
No, Elder, go ahead.
I was just going to say that every time I hear any kind of lesson or topic about offense, it brings me back to a class I heard maybe 25 years ago. And real simple, that the instructor took the word offended and cut it in half and reminded us that any time as believers excuse my voice, anytime as believers that we are offended, that God's process, God's anointing is off, and his process or his ability to use us has ended. And it was just something, I mean, that's just like, you know, super simplistic, like for a first grader, but when you think of offended and you cut it in half, it's off and it's ended. And, you know, they said, you know, God's anointing is off of us. Not that we're not saved or anything like that, just that we are not in a position where God can use us when we are offended, that his anointing is off and his process and his ability to use us in that situation is ended. So it's just one of those things, and you know, like I said, it's just one of those kinds of things that's just stuck in the back of my head. So I just wanted to share that. That's all.
Amen. And when you apply that to every area that they're showing in us in the book, offended people conform to their own hurts and create their own lifestyle of pain. So in other words, what's off and what's ended is peace. The peace of God is off our lives. It has ended. I mean, and that's such a wonderful analogy and illustration. People employ defense mechanisms, so they're no longer, they're off the power of God, and that has ended in their life, and as a result, they're trying to defend themselves, and they're on their own. They cut themselves off from the power of God, and that ends any blessing that God will give. And so that is so wonderful, and to know that is what happens when our hearts are offended. It's that plug or that blockage that is cutting us off and ending the good flow of life through our hearts and through our lives. Offended people can't receive the anointing of God. And if you, I love it when it says, if you're offended by your leader, don't expect the God-given authority of that leader to rest and rule in your life because you're offended by it. It says, because no one can carry the anointing of a vessel of God that he does not honor and have and has even, perhaps even, rejected. They rejected Christ, so as a result, they couldn't have what Christ has. They could not receive that which God has given. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes up to him. In order to come to him, you got to respect him. You got to honor him, and you have to accept him and not reject him. Offended people are prevented from reaching their purpose and their destiny because we stop momentum when we get stuck in a place of offense. Things stop. Anything that stops doesn't move. If it doesn't move, we can't mature. We can't go forward. We can't reach the purpose of destiny, the fullness, that abundant life, because we stop living. And we have created a life of pain and of offense, if you will, the attitudes. And we have to monitor the fact when we don't feel the presence of God. Is that because there is an offense that is blocking it? This is the reason some people do not feel the nearness of God, is that they have been trying to present themselves to him while at the same time they are harboring offense. Sometimes they aren't even aware that they are doing so. This is a primary reason why we must regularly monitor the condition of our hearts according to God's word and allow his spirit to convict us of sin so that our hearts may be transformed. So you may not know it's there, but trust the work of Holy Spirit to bring conviction, hear his voice, and then obey. And so the solution for the offense, I love it, it's so simple. And then the prayer is beautiful. And we should just share in that on a regular basis. I just highlighted just like 5 points. Confess, repent, forgive, die to self, commit to movement, commit to momentum. And in doing that, you have to act on the word of God. And in acting, that is going to bring us to restoration of relationships through then forgiving, reconciling others, and having peace with one another as much as it lies within you. Have peace with one another. So this chapter has been a very instructive, informative chapter that brings to light some things that bring us to a place of healing. And that's where we want to be. We want to be wholehearted in our service and in our love for God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That takes us to the end of our chapter 5. We can actually proceed into chapter 6 for next week. We appreciate your presence. We'd like to remind you for laborers that church service starts at 4 o'clock this Sunday. This is for Sunday, and so you want to govern yourselves accordingly. We are looking forward to a lot of wonderful things that are going on in ministry, and so we enjoy and we invite those to come and share this with us, our partners, our friends, and those that have always supported the ministry. And we encourage our members to get excited about the momentum, because it is because of maturity that God is now placing some things before us that we are now going to walk in the liberty and freedom and blessing of. And so we thank God for that and for you. So as this closes out, I do believe the month of, well, not yet. This closes out the month of May for us, and we're entering the month of June, which is the month of our Apostolic House, Apostle, and Labor's Ministry. And so we praise God, we thank Him, and you know, we just rejoice.
Oh, are we not having a call next Friday?
Oh, no, we're having a call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you said close out the month, I just wasn't sure if that's what you, I thought that's what you were speaking of.
Oh, no, because it's the last one in May. Maybe it is.
Yeah. No, June. The 31st is the last. There's one more Friday this month.
No.
Seven and four. And I ain't gonna tell you what I came up with. That lets you know I'm retired. Okay. We got one more week. Hallelujah. I know it's a holiday weekend. Well, that's this weekend. That's why I'm off. Because this is the holiday weekend, right? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. What? Yeah, well, we have one more week in May. I'm not gonna rush it. I'm certainly not gonna rush it. So we have one more week. Wow, Paulette. I'm adding 24 and 7, and I'm coming up with 34. Wow. I'm going to have to go back to school.
Thank you.
I need to go. Thank you so much. That is what you truly call a senior moment, okay? That's a senior moment, big time. But
and we all
guys,
have
but,
a we all have
well,
those senior moments.
Yeah, well, thank you for grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And that's
going
to chuckle me. And that, you know what? There's certain things God knows how to make us humble. Okay. Well, you can't even ask. Okay. And you were an accountant. You can't even ask. I said, you know what? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm.
So thank you all. Okay.
God bless.
Enjoy the ministry.
Okay.
Okay.
Hallelujah.